So we're here at the Maundy-Thursday service. We are coming to the end of the Lenten season and beginning the great 3 days before Easter, culminating in Easter. And life's about seasons, right? I love the seasons of life, the liturgical seasons. And I just came to the end of another season, and that is the season of a school project. And as you know, with school projects, it's not always about the student, but often the parents get roped into some of these school projects. And this particular one, my son's fifth grade class recently finished this three-month-long process, this project, researching famous people throughout history, really kind of focusing in on about the last 500 years. It started as a simple research paper, which then morphed into needing to have an additional craft on his table, on this display table, that, of course, I had to help him with, because no reasonable fifth grader could do what the teacher was asking him to do. And then it culminated in this wax museum type of presentation where he had to give a speech about his particular person that he dressed up as, delivering this short speech, talked about his historic accomplishments of his character. From the Civil War hero, General Ulysses S. Grant, to the creator of basketball, James Naismith, to the founder of the American Red Cross, Clara Barton, the spectrum of heroes was covered and widely displayed in the gymnasium for everyone to see. While you're there, you could ask as many questions as you want. You could learn about them. And in some cases, it was as if you were actually talking to the person. If you're really wanting to, you know, be able to drill down and just kind of pick the brain of someone in history, this was the night. This night was for you. If you ever wanted to ask someone to dinner, if there'd be one particular person that you could have in history that you could have dinner with them, and, you know, just really pick their brain, you know, this was kind of the event, right? In an old interview, actor Michael J. Fox was asked just that. If you could have dinner with one person in history, who would it be? Without hesitating, he said, Jesus. He explained by saying, it all comes down to him. He's an amazing character. Whether you believe exactly what the Bible says or not, you can't deny that he's had a positive impact on history. While some of us may have a particular bend toward a historical period in time or a particular person, I think if we all narrow it down, I think a lot of us maybe in this room tonight would choose to have dinner with Jesus as well. In our gospel reading tonight from John, we're told that Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father, that having loved his own, he was now about to show them the full extent of his love. So Jesus had a decision to make. If he could have dinner, his very last dinner with anyone, who was it going to be with? And he chooses his own. He chooses his followers. He chooses his disciples. We're told that the Passover was upon them. John's reminder and alluding to the Passover feast is as if to remind us of John the Baptist's declaration that Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Just as the first Passover was the turning point in the redemption of the people of God, so too the cross was going to be the genesis of a new era for Christ's followers. Now, John doesn't give us so much of a lead-up as to the events as to what we now refer to as the Last Supper, as maybe some of the other books do, but we're made aware of a few things. First, Jesus was keenly aware of who he was. He was fully aware that the Father who had put all things under his power, that Jesus was the one that had come from God and was also going to be returning from God. He was fully aware not only of his divinity, but also of his humanity. And also, even moreover, his destiny, of what was about to happen. And with full knowledge of what was about to transpire, Jesus continues to keep redemption history's drama unfolding. And he does so willingly. Second, we know that a meal has been prepared, and it's a private dinner only with Jesus and his disciples. At an ordinary meal, a host would have delegated a servant to be there, to be responsible, to wash the feet of his guests. But this was a private event, and there were no servants there. At this point, I think it's illuminating to consult Luke's account of the Last Supper and what else may have been occurring that night. In Luke 22:24, we're told that they, the disciples, presumably on the way to the upper room or sometime after they arrived, we don't know, had been arguing about who among them would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What it must have been like for Jesus to be hearing this, with everything he has going on at that moment in his life. His literal 3 years of ministry is coming to a climactic close. The very purpose and culmination of his very life on earth is coming to a dramatic conclusion. Also, the full knowledge that Judas is betraying him actively, not only turning him over to be arrested, but to be killed. The betrayal of Judas setting an acceptable price that he would be willing to trade his mentor, his rabbi, his teacher, that he'd be willing to trade him for, setting a price on his head. Jesus is also staring down the barrel, looking down the barren road, so to speak, of the most painful, humiliating torture of that day. And those closest to him, like siblings fighting in the back seat of a car, are arguing about who's better, who's more important, more needed, more valued, more honored, over who was the greatest among them. And of course, by logical default, who's the least? Jesus, in his patience, in his compassion, knowing our finite human nature, our fallen and selfish ways, knowing that we are dust and to dust we shall return, right? Puts his own concerns aside to begin one of his last lessons with them as their teacher. John tells us in verses 4 and 5 that Jesus rose from supper, laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wash them with the towel, and then wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now keep in mind that this is, of course, something that the disciples would have never done. It would have been too humiliating. John the Baptist references the humiliating nature of this job, stating that he was not even worthy to untie the sandals of our Lord. That he was not even worthy to have the lowliest job of a servant when it comes to serving our Lord. Contrast the heart of John the Baptist with the hearts of Jesus' disciples, with those who had dedicated the last 3 years of their lives. What a stark contrast this is. We don't know, but it could have been what started the argument in the first place, figuring out who was going to draw the short straw and have to wash everyone else's feet that night at dinner. I don't know. But seeing the pride and the jockeying for position, Jesus turns it all upside down, as he often does. The host of the dinner, the truly greatest among them, he rose that night. He took a towel and proceeded to wash the dirtiest part of them, one by one, lowering himself as the servant of all. Peter, what can we say about Peter? Peter at first refuses to let Jesus wash his feet, presumably out of respect and out of honor. But Jesus replies to Peter that if I don't wash you, you have no share with me. Again, this echoes the declaration of John the Baptist that our participation in the Paschal mystery is required, that our acceptance of Christ's sacrifice is required in order to share in the kingdom of heaven. And so Peter, an all-or-nothing kind of guy, if you will, says to Jesus that while he shouldn't wash his feet, kind of while you're there, if you're going to, you should wash the rest of me, my hands and my head as well. Again, Peter completely misses the boat. He misses the point completely with what Jesus is doing and teaching them. Peter's told that once a person has bathed, that they only need to wash their feet. The Johannine dual symbolism here is nothing short of full rich. Physically speaking, the feet were the dirtiest part. Culturally, only the feet would have been expected. But Jesus, as fully God and fully man, who knows not only what's on the outside, but also what's in the heart, knew what was required. Yeah, having Peter's feet washed made him acceptable to eat dinner. In reality, though, this could have been done by any one of the disciples, if they would have been willing, right? Any one of them could have made the rest of them acceptable to partake in that meal. But in the grand passion narrative and the redemption story, we must humble ourselves to the lordship of Christ and follow his example to serve. As Jesus Christ, our Lord and teacher, washed the feet of the disciples, we also are called to embrace the spirit of humility and wash one another's feet. It's only when we accept Christ's act of lowering himself to that of a servant, to a self-sacrificial act on the cross, that we are acceptable for the kingdom of heaven. And it's only by our acceptance of Christ's salvation, made possible by the cross, that we are made acceptable to partake in the supper of the Lamb. When Jesus was done washing their feet, verse 12 says that he put on his outer garments and resumed his place at the table. Just as throughout the rest of the Gospels, after Jesus either told a parable or taught a lesson, he wants to debrief with them. He gives further time and insight to his disciples and asks them, "Do you understand what I've done?" Instructing them that if he, as their Lord and teacher, has washed their feet, if he is leading by example of service as if he was the least of these, then he says, "You also do just as I have done to you." You can almost hear Jesus' teaching in Matthew 25 on the final judgment when he says, "I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did to me." In just a moment, we'll be participating in the liturgy of the foot washing. I invite you to reflect on the humility of our Lord that night, who as the host lowered himself to serve as the lowliest of servants, who having loved his own who were in the world, showed them the full extent of his love, both that night and on the cross. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.